all the text because I'm going to somewhat take you through this book in a very quick way this morning. But I'm going to read you the first 6.5 verses from Habakkuk chapter 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help and you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I'm raising up the Babylonians. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Our prayer this morning is that you would take that word by the power of your Holy Spirit, make it alive, press it into our hearts and our minds. Lord, teach us from your word, we pray. Lord, help us this day not to hear the words of some preacher, but to hear your voice, and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I feel somewhat like Habakkuk over these last 8 weeks. If you've not been here, I probably have complained a lot. I've complained about destruction of the foundations in this country. I've complained about the murder of the helpless. I've complained about the perversion of marriage. I've complained about the destruction of the truth. I've complained about the desecration of the Sabbath. On and on. If you've been here these last 8 weeks, you know. And I feel somewhat like Habakkuk did. And I cry out to God, how long, Lord? How long do we have to endure? Why do you tolerate such? Why aren't you doing something? And you know, as a church, we prayed over the last 40 days, joined with other churches across the country, and prayed that God would turn the hearts of the people of this land back to him. We prayed that God would change the hearts of these people, that they would repent of their sin, that they would turn to God and seek his face, and that he would heal our land. More importantly, we prayed that God would turn the hearts of his people to him, that they would repent, that they would repent of their ignoring and excusing of these sins that go on all around us. We said to see evil and not speak out is sin. We prayed that God would hear our prayers, that his people would turn, and that he would heal this land. This past week, and it doesn't matter which side you're on, R or D, that's not the issue. It wasn't the issue when we began the series. The issue is these things that go on in this country and that we tolerate in this country that are contrary to God's word. But what has happened in this past week, we have seen after $2 billion have been spent, after billions of words have been spent, that nothing has changed. Essentially, there is no difference this week than last week. There may be some here, some there, but overall, What we see in the country is exactly what we saw before. There's about half of the people who see nothing wrong with murdering 55 million babies in this country. There's about half the people in this country who see nothing wrong at all with uniting a man and a man or a woman and a woman in marriage. There's about half this country who see nothing wrong in playing fast and loose with the truth as long as it serves some purpose, their purpose. We could cry out like Habakkuk, Lord, why do you tolerate such? When are you going to do something? Justice is perverted. Truth lies trampled in the streets. When are you going to do something, Lord? Why do you tolerate this? But I don't think we have to be as importunate as Habakkuk, as endlessly haranguing God. I think we can look at what Habakkuk learned from the Lord here. And we can take from that lessons to apply to ourselves and our country and our lives and our reactions to these things that have happened. The first thing that the Lord tells Habakkuk is, Habakkuk, your view is too narrow. You're concerned about Judah. You're concerned about Birmingham or Alabama or the United States. God says, I'm concerned about the whole world. There's a bigger plan in place here, Habakkuk. I'm going to change things. I'm raising up the Babylonians. Now, you need to remember Assyria is the world power at this time. Assyria, who had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and carried them off into captivity. They're the world power. There's been a few uprisings by some Babylonian princes here and there, but they've been put down. That is until Nabopolassar comes and leads a successful rebellion. He's the father of a man named Nebuchadnezzar. And the Egyptians come from Egypt to help Assyria in one last-ditch effort. Famous Battle of Carchemish, they're utterly defeated by the young general Nebuchadnezzar. God says, I'm fixing to change things. He doesn't tell Habakkuk all these things that we know in retrospect. He just says, I'm fixing to change them, and I'm going to change them so swiftly and so quickly, you're not going to believe what's going to happen. He also tells them about the people, these Babylonians, down beyond where we read in chapter 1. He says they're fierce people. They're vain, idol worshipers. They sweep across the whole land, show mercy to no one. No city is safe from them. I'm raising them up. They're coming to your town. They're coming to your country. Habakkuk is speechless, almost. Such a thing as this? But he does know one thing. If you look down in the chapter 1 to verses 12 and 13, Habakkuk says, O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O rock, you have ordained them to punish. Habakkuk knows this is from the Lord. It matters not what we want, what we think the right outcome should be. God has his plan in place. And Habakkuk recognizes that. He says, Lord, you have appointed this. You have ordained this. And that's what we need to remember. I can't fathom the state of our country. I can't understand how people can justify the things we've looked at over these last weeks. We bow down to our own Moloch and sacrifice God's children. Remember, I read you that from the scripture. When Judah fell, God listed over and over through the prophets what had caused this. The desecration of the Sabbath, idol worship. And he said, you have murdered my children. We've done far more than they ever thought about doing. Whatever comes upon us will be because God's ordaining of it, because of God's purpose and God's plan in that. So Habakkuk recognizes that this is from God. But he has this question. This is the question we all have. It's there in verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? This is Habakkuk's question. Is it right that the righteous are punished by those who are less righteous? That God would use the wicked to punish the righteous? You know, there are people living in Judah who did not bow down to idols. There are people living in Judah that didn't participate in any of these sins. Their homes were destroyed. Their families were killed. They were taken into exile also. They suffered right along with the rest. So Habakkuk says, would you do such a thing, God? Your eyes are too pure. You're too holy to look upon wickedness, and yet you're going to allow this to happen. These Babylonians to come, these idol worshipers to come and destroy your people, your temple, your city. See, we think of ourselves like that in America. We think this is God's chosen land and God's chosen people. We are not. The church is God's people. The church is God's inheritance. The church is Christ's body. This is where we make a mistake. We think things will always be like this because they've always been like this. We need to learn the lesson here. God is free to do as he pleases. God can use evil to accomplish his purposes. God can use what is seemingly awful, terrible things to us to further his divine plan to its ultimate conclusion. He demonstrated that at the cross. As Peter said in his sermon at Pentecost, Acts 2:23, he said, this man, Jesus, was crucified by you with the help of evil men according to God's set purpose and foreknowledge. The greatest evil that was ever done in this world, the crucifixion of the Lord of glory, was by God's set purpose. And it accomplished an unimaginable good for an innumerable crowd of people. God can use these things for his glory. So what are we to do? What are we to make of this? Things may not change where we live. For Habakkuk, he said he would just sit and wait and see what the Lord was going to do. But he says there in chapter 2 and verse 4, key part of this book, the key part of it goes into the New Testament, goes into the Reformation, words you all know. The righteous will live by his faith. In Habakkuk's personal struggle, this is it. It's not by outward circumstances. It's not by what goes on around us. It's not what we may have or not have. The righteous shall live by faith. By faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. That's where our confidence is. That's where our assurance comes from. It's not who's elected, who's not elected. It's not what our economy is or may not be in the future. It is in Christ alone. And it is by faith in Christ. This is where Habakkuk comes to. He is seen and heard what God has said. He has recorded it. And this book, strangely enough, God says, I'm raising up the Babylonians. And they're going to sweep over the whole land, over the whole earth. But really, the reason I did that is so they can come here to Jerusalem, to Judah, where you are. All this is just extra. This is the purpose. They're coming here to answer your questions. How long am I going to put up with this? Not long. What am I going to do about it? I'm sending the Babylonians. So what does Habakkuk do? This book ends in a prayer, in a song, if you will. A song of hope and joy. See, what we have to gather from all this, and you've heard me these last 8 weeks, I've been very forthright in what I said about some of these things. They are contrary to the Word of God. And they should be contrary to God's people. And God's people need to stand up and say so. Maybe we said so, maybe we didn't. 24 million self-described evangelicals voted for people who promote the murder of the unborn, who think that homosexuality is a normal way of life. That can't be if you understand what God says. And I have tried to make that clear to you over these weeks. But Habakkuk says, even though that's true, even though many of the people of Jerusalem here have turned against you, Lord, even though there's only going to be a few, a small remnant, we're going to survive this. I'm going to pray in song. It is a song. It tells you at the end of this, for the director of music on my stringed instruments. It's a prayer to be sung. And Habakkuk says at the end, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Folks, if there's one thing that we need to understand, that's it. There may not be any olives or grapes. There may not be any paychecks. There may not be any Social Security. There may not be anything that we consider to be normal. What will you do in that case? What will you do? This was half a decade before Jerusalem came crashing down. what you do if 20 years from now everything we know about this country and what we hold dear is no longer here. You will rejoice in God your Savior if you truly belong to Him, because our joy is not dependent on outward circumstances. Our joy depends on what's in here. The fact that God came in the person of Jesus Christ, gave His life to redeem a wretch like me and you and you and you and you. That's where our joy is. Nothing could change that. It's fixed. It's written in heaven. There where Paul says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, has not entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. This will be a vague memory, if it's a memory at all. So don't let outward circumstances, don't let the collapse of what you know, because in a very real way, we can say that God is sending the Babylonians. He's raising them up. I really don't think they're going to be from Babylon, but Babylon is a word in the Scripture that applies to all sorts of things. And who knows from whence it may come. But our joy is in the Lord. And the just live by faith, not by sight, not by outward circumstances. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we have this great assurance, Lord, that we are in Your hand. Nothing can snatch us from Your hand. Nothing the world can throw at us. Nothing that our own sinfulness, our own lack of speaking out against the evil in this land might bring upon us. Lord, in spite of all the difficulties that may come, and they will come, You will not tolerate wrong. Lord, You have demonstrated over and over and over. And Lord, this people of this land needs to hear. And Your people are the people that need to tell them. And Lord, we just pray that we would be bold, that we would show them the love of Christ, but with a holy boldness that will indeed proclaim Your truth, that You would be glorified. Lord, that You'd be glorified in our lives, in our daily walk, in our testimony as we have opportunity, the smallest, most incidental thing that we might think can be used by You for the greatest good. And Lord, lead us in that. Guide us, strengthen us, encourage us, we pray, for Your eternal glory. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.